Wake up call for 11:27:21 and 11:27:28. Wake up call 11:27:21 and 28.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I have with me today Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
And the rest of the crew is off preparing for Thanksgiving, and of course, by the time you hear this, they'll be recovering from Thanksgiving. But
however, Rick, just I hope everybody rolled their scale back 10 pounds before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't think they've passed that law.
Rainer doesn't need to. She's lost about 20 pounds lately.
Okay, well, we've had a very busy week. Tied up with the school board and going out there and protest in front of the Craven County Board of Education. Against the mask mandates that they had to vote on there, and evidently it did have some influence because we won by a greater margin than they anticipated. They were worried there was a couple of seats they thought were going to go the other way, but all but one voted not to do the mask mandate.
You know, Rick, an interesting side effect, and had not really considered it. Just seeing some postings today, and again, everybody, we see postings, but somebody was talking about their child was enthused. I see, and enthused may not be the right word, but coming home saying, I saw my teacher's face for the first time.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, you know, talking about the demonstrations that we've had at the school board and the one we did in front of the hospital and things like that. Reminds me of David Clark, Sheriff David Clark. Remember, he spoke to us, and he said it was time to hit the streets. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have taken that to heart.
Along those lines, I want to remember last week when we went down to the hearing about the shrimp trawling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
That was a public hearing because the Fishery Commission had been threatened to close down a lot of the shrimping areas. And they opened up public comment, 3 minutes each, and they said they would stay there until people were done commenting. We were there for 2 hours.
Yep. Yep.
Because people cared. And
well, the four of you were signed up to comment.
Yes, we did.
And there was many, many others.
And the thing is, the vote, I mean, it was a 4-5 vote, but the original idea of closing down so much of the shrimp area was overruled. It did not happen. I don't understand enough about fishing to really get into
Let's talk about that for a second, because like I said, all four of you spoke mm-hmm. to the commission, and none of you are involved in fishing.
Well, you know, the thing that blew my mind, number one, free enterprise. It's not fair to shut people down unnecessarily. Number two, there are great swaths of us. I think Mary and I are definitely in the category. We enjoy seafood. However, we don't shrimp. We don't fish. We don't do all that sort of thing. We're dependent on local restaurants and local seafood markets to get fresh seafood, and shrimp is one of my favorites. But the thing that blows my mind is they were considered. Right now, the water in estuaries in North Carolina, almost half of it, 47%, is already closed year-round. Another 200,000 acres of water is closed seasonally. So it is more than half of the waters in North Carolina estuaries that are closed to shrimping already. That is, some of them, much of it has been closed for 50 years or longer. The commission cannot tell whether they have more finfish as a result, whether the habitat has improved as a result. They have no results that they can point to. With that as a situation, they were proposing putting more and more people out of business and denying seafood to anybody who can't get their own.
Well, I think the outcome of that was satisfactory. It was a narrow margin, but
It was outrageous that it was narrow, but at least it went the right way.
What I think was outrageous that it was narrow because the speakers, and like Mary said, went on for about 2 hours. Only one person out of that whole group actually spoke directly in favor of the resolution.
I couldn't figure everybody out whether else, she was in favor.
Well, there was one guy that I'm sure was in favor of it. All the rest of us were not. And so they asked for public input. They started off asking for public input. They specifically said they wanted consumer input. And like Brainerd said, they wanted people who were concerned about the livelihood of the shrimpers. And I think that all those things were addressed very, very carefully and heartfeltly with the people that spoke.
All right.
And yet it was a very, very narrow decision. So if they really wanted public input, they sure got it, but some of them ignored it.
Yeah.
Yes. It was also interesting that Senator Bob Steinberg was up there saying if, like him being a senator, if you had to be elected, you would surely be out of a job.
The other thing, too, was when I read the email that Jerry Schill put out the next day, he said that there was a revised resolution that did pass, and he was happy with that. Mm-hmm. As I said, this is way out of things I know about, but I trust his judgment.
Yes.
So our being there made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
They said the commission sat there with their arms crossed.
The body language was awful.
And I mean, they asked for public input so they could ignore it.
I didn't like that business of threatening it, throw us all out if we clapped again and things like that. I mean, dictatorial.
That to me is infringement on free speech because applauding indicates we agree with the speaker.
All right.
They had a hissy fit over that.
Right. Well, I want to go back to and capitalize on that point about you guys didn't have anything to do with fishing, yet you showed up to speak in opposition to that maneuver they were trying to make. It goes parallel to something similar that happens at the school board. When you talk to people about voting for new candidates for school board or going to the school board meetings and having their voices heard, and so many of them will tell you, well, I don't have kids in school. I mean, it doesn't affect me.
It does.
Right. Just like it was affecting you as a consumer, not as a fisherman, but as a consumer, it would affect you.
It certainly would. And, but that's minor compared to what it would do to the fishermen, and that infuriates me.
And right. CCTA has always stood firm for the small business people.
Yes. Right.
And people that are making a living with their own skills, their own equipment. It's expensive equipment, too, you know.
Yeah.
Very expensive equipment. And they have to have a license in order to do that, a commercial fisherman's license. And most of the times they've been passed down from father to son. And then I say there's now an effort by the state to buy some of them back, so I hear.
Right. Well, the comparison between that and the school board issue is when you say, I don't have kids in school, so it's no concern of mine, I have to remind you that the generation of kids that are being indoctrinated because they're not being educated anymore, currently in the public school system, they're your next leaders. They're your mayor, your commissioners, your aldermen, your governors, your lieutenant governors, your president, you know, right on through the whole political system.
And they are being taught to think of free enterprise and personal responsibility and all sorts of things that we really, really support is evil. It's like up is down and down is up.
All right. So
it's horrible.
If you value your freedom and your country as you've known it, that you grew up in it, it is important for you to get involved.
You know, Rick, also on the school board issue, you may not have children in school, but you darn sure have dollars going to support whatever they're teaching. And we have the right to know what they are teaching.
Matter
with
of fact,
$5.
The largest portion of your tax dollars in the state are spent on education.
There's another aspect, too. People will not buy a house in a place that has bad schools.
Yep.
And Craven County Schools need some improvement. They have room for some
practicing your British understatement.
I think we see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel on that issue, because Beth Wood, the state auditor, she is a pistol, I'll tell you that. She goes after them, and she does. But she's decided that over the next several months, she's going to be auditing the Department of Public Instructions and going to the county schools. She says she's in Johnson County already. And I'm telling you, when she gets through with them, they'll know where their money's going and how it's being spent and things like that. Now, I made a trip down to the finance officer here in Craven County, this school system, some time ago. And he had the state money, he had the federal money, and he had the local money, three different checkbooks. And he said he couldn't follow it. He honestly admitted that it was too complicated for him to follow.
Right. Well, it was three separate budgets, and nowhere was it all put together in one place.
Beth Wood, who grew up on a farm up there in Cove City and worked hard for a living back in those days, they're not going to get anything past her. She's a CPA, and I think she's a genius, and she's a tigress when it comes to working hard.
All right. Well, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. And we've spent the first segment telling you some of the activities that we've been involved in. We've got one more to talk to you about after the break. But that's the big part of CCTA is political activism, being involved in what's going on in your community. And we sure could use a lot more active people doing that. So let's take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and it's a real pleasure that we get to spend time with you on the weekends like this, because folks, we need to get the word out. We need to share the messages, and we hope you're doing that. We encourage you to go to our website, cctaxpayers.com. We'll try to keep you informed there. There's also a feedback button, please. We'd love to hear from you. If there's something we're not covering on the show that you would like to hear about, please let us know. If we're doing the right things, let us know that. If we're doing the wrong things, let us know. We need your feedback. We also need your presence at our public meetings, which are the third Tuesday of every month at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. So we encourage you to please start coming out on the third Tuesday and joining us. We have some wonderful speakers.
And this month we have our Christmas party coming up.
Christmas party, yes. And that's the 21st, I believe.
I don't.
I believe it is, the third Tuesday of December. And we have a lot of fun at those parties. They're open to the public. There's going to be food there for you to eat. And we play some games, and there'll be music. And a good time is had by all, has been in the past, and will be this year. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about earlier, and that's citizen activists getting involved in what's going on locally. We talked about some of the things we've done with protest at the school board, and going down to address the Fisheries Commission on some rules they were trying to change that would affect our local fishing industry. And then just yesterday, and this is Wednesday, so that would have been Tuesday, there was a deadline set by the Craven County Hospital for their staff that they had to have their religious exemption forms turned in. Or religion exemption or health exemption, medical exemption forms turned in by yesterday, or they were expected to resign. They didn't come out and say, we're going to fire you. We expect you to resign. Now, if they would resign before December the 3rd, they would allow them to keep their accumulated leave that they had.
Well, I think there was a real strong legal reason for that. I think if they were fired, they would have the opportunity to sue back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're putting the pressure on them to resign against their will.
Right.
They don't want to resign, but they don't want to take the vaccine either.
But guess what? A CCTA member sent me an email saying that her brother-in-law is an attorney in New York. The senior partner of that firm told him he needed to get the vaccine or resign. And he said, no, I am not going to resign. If you want to get rid of me, you will have to fire me. That was 8 months ago. He's still employed. I think anybody who gets fired has cause for legal action.
They do.
And anybody who resigns.
That was the point I was trying to make.
Doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why they're using this carrot and stick thing, trying to coerce them into doing what is not in their best interest.
Right. There's more and more evidence of that across the country because people are saying, go to them and have them put it in writing that you must resign your job or you'll be fired from your job if you don't get the vaccine. And the reason you do that is because they will be liable mm-hmm. when all this washes out.
You know, it was interesting yesterday listening to some of the people around me because many of the people were vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the, as standing out there in the protest, many of the people were also hospital employees. And I don't have any problem with people getting vaccinated voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a problem with a mandate that's going to twist my arm. And apparently the mandate is there so that they can continue to get Medicaid funding. Now, who's holding the strings? We've gone 22 months without having the mandate. And it looks like, I'm going to say that it looks like some of this China virus is not totally under control, but it's at least, quote, manageable right now after 22 months. Why this mandate now?
You know what? There's an article in this week's County Compass that says that the most of the people hospitalized with the variant have been vaccinated. It's not preventing disease. It's not preventing their passing on the disease to others. It makes no real sense. It's more of that control mechanism. And we need to push back against being controlled. It is, Mary was observing a little while ago that it's a whole lot like what was happening in Nazi Germany. As things got worse and worse, they would stigmatize certain people, go after them a little bit at a time, one group here or another group there, and people said, I'm not in that group, so I'm all right. Well, they're ultimately coming after all of us, and we need to work together to prevent that from happening.
When I saw the date and the time that we were going to have this protest, I decided to call Steve Tyson. You know, Steve is our representative now in the North Carolina House. But I know for a long time he was on the Board of Commissioners, and while he was on the Board of Commissioners here in Craven County, he was put on the board of the East Carolina East Health System, the hospital. So he's on that board. So I called him up and asked him what's going on there. And he said, they didn't, the board did not issue that mandate, is what he said. He said, I'll look into it and get back to you. Well, that raised my curiosity about who is on the board. So I looked it up on the, it's not very current, but it came off the their website, the hospital's website, so it's not updated. It's their fault. But anyway, there are a lot of well-known people that are well-respected in our community that are on that board. A couple of them I don't know. There's Mr. Rogers, who's the treasurer, vice chairman now, and Pat McCulloch, who's a secretary, but Steve Tyson is assistant secretary. Tom Broughton, General Tom Broughton, is the treasurer. Jeff Odom, who's, I understand, he's on the, what they call it, the...
Alderman, right?
Alderman, right. And he, I think he's considering, I understand he's going to run for mayor. And then you got Buzzy Stubbs, and I think everybody in the county knows who that is. Then Tom Mark, who's also been on the board of commissioners here. Denny Booker, who's on the board now. Those kind of people are on that board. So I'm wondering, gosh, if they didn't do it, then whoever, the director, manager, whatever they call it, down at the hospital must have been the one to do it. It would seem to me if I were on this board, I'd call an emergency meeting or something like that, try to get this thing straight.
Yeah, definitely the hospital administration. We hit on it earlier. It's all about the money,
yeah.
The Medicare, the Medicaid, the government money. And that's in every issue that we find that we're troubled by as patriots, as citizens. You know, if you look at the abortion issue, if you look at the school education issue, if you look at all of them, it's all about the money. The government uses their funds to bribe or coerce these different institutions into doing what the government would have them to do. Same thing with the churches, you know, the threat over the churches about losing their tax status if they talk politics. Well, that's not true anyway. Not one church has ever lost their tax status, and it's not for talking politics. Specifically, you cannot endorse a candidate. And that has been going on, and they still haven't done anything about it.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
you know, Rick, I just want to I want to correct the statement that you made there, because the government money, when you talk about the government money, you know, I raise my hackles every time I pass by any drugstore nearby and see the sign that says free vaccine. What makes it free? The fact that my tax dollars go in there. And, you know, if you look back at the underground, the mafia, whatever else, and they talked about money laundering, this government is money laundering our money and giving it out as, again, it's not a free vaccine. It's costing me tax money.
Yep.
Yeah, I will not accept your correction because I am right. Once it leaves my pocket, it is the government's money.
That's right.
Because if it wasn't their money, they wouldn't have control over what they were doing.
Right.
It'd still be my control.
You know, I deliver the county compasses that Mary was talking about, and it did have an article about this protest that was put on. And I was talking to a young lady about it. And she said, my daddy works at the hospital, and he was out there with you protesters.
Yep. And a lot of hospital employees wandered by, said thank you, went away.
Yes, he did.
We had a family friend, longtime friend of the family, who was really worrying about it quite a bit. She has kids, a family to support. She's been with the hospital for, I believe, 12 or more years. She's been there a while. And she was faced with that, and she had put in her form for religious exemption. And it had been quite a while, and she hadn't heard anything. Well, after yesterday's demonstration, we got to notice that she just got her approval.
You know, I was talking also with a county employee, And, you know, they're concerned about it. The county may be requiring it. Mm-hmm. All their employees get the vaccine, and he doesn't want it. And he says he's not going to get it, and he's afraid he might lose his job. And he said, I can't afford to lose a job. You know, I've got to feed my family.
Right. Well, that's the way it is for everybody. Everybody has to provide for themselves unless they're living on the government dole. Okay?
And the welfare people aren't getting tested.
Well.
Or shot.
Mm-hmm.
Jabbed.
Yeah.
Jabbed.
Choose my words carefully.
Yep. I understand. And that was the point I was trying to make is these people that are having to go out here and work hard for a living, they are being intimidated by fear,
mm-hmm.
the fear of not being able to provide for their family, you know. And you administrators, you CEOs, you bosses, your elected officials that are pushing this narrative, your judgment day is coming.
Yeah.
Your judgment, you better consider carefully right now what you're doing, because the impact it's going to have is going to come back to bite you.
I've got an idea. The hospital board is sitting on a lot of retained earnings. I don't know the exact figure, but it's my understanding it's in the millions. They ought to not drop this mandate nonsense and sue the federal government if they stop getting paid like they ought to. Use that money to bridge the gap and sue the heck out of the federal government.
Absolutely. And there, I'll have to see if I can find it while we're in break or something, but there's a county that is doing that.
Really?
Yes. And you've got to read the article. I'll find it for you. Anyway, we did have a successful day protesting out in front of the hospital. It was cold. It was windy. My hands went numb, but it was worth it because...
And, you know, there were a lot of other groups represented there, too.
Right.
It wasn't just CCTA. It was a joint effort with several different conservative
yes.
people working together, and I think that's the sign of the future. That's what we
need to do. United groups. And there was young people there also. Many young people were there, which is showing that they are paying attention to mm-hmm. what's going on. They are waking up.
Before we leave this subject, I'm going to get in one more thing, and that is... We talked about how important it is to go to school board meetings and make your voice heard there. Well, does this Carolina East Hospital, or is the public allowed to go to their board meetings? Because there's a lot of things going on at that hospital that I personally don't agree with, like Rainer said. And so could we make our voices heard at that kind of a meeting? I'm going to try to find out.
Yeah, I doubt that you would be allowed to attend the meeting.
But, you know, just think about it. If the taxpayers own the property that the hospital is sitting on and they pay a dollar a year for rent, then it seems to me that we are their landlords and ought to have some say in what goes on in that regard.
Oh, I agree. We should have. And the way to do that is show up. Stand outside the hospital doors when they're going to their meeting. Make them have to walk through the gauntlet and see that people are concerned with what they're doing.
And again, we do need to mention that probably a very large number of the hospital staff agrees with our protest.
Yes. So. Uh-huh. But also, folks, remember, never be unruly. Don't go there for violent intent. Don't go there with thoughts of being destructive in any manner whatsoever, because that is totally against your narrative, our narrative, mm-hmm. what you're trying to accomplish. It's not going to help a thing. Yes, you can go there and be passionate, loud-spoken, demanding, but don't be threatening.
But all of our people were very polite.
Yes.
And even the people driving by in the cars, you could tell that when they started blowing the horn, we waved our signs, they blow the horn back, thumbs ups and things like that.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people passing were showing support for our efforts.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
And I did record some interviews on the sidewalk with a number of the protesters that I had planned to use on this radio show, but the horns blowing and the wind blowing, it just didn't work out. So.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know, Rick, it was interesting to see that something that's really, really upsetting some people is that we apparently have co-opted the phrase, my body, my choice.
Yes.
Because, again, we're not against people getting the vaccine if they want it. We're just against the mandatory getting when it is not proven to do what they say it's going to do, other than earn them money.
Right. Okay, well, we need to take an...
Oh, excuse me.
We need to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll continue when we come back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, we've been talking about being politically active and being an activist and getting out and participating in what's going on in your community, because it starts locally, folks. You don't go to the top and start there. You need to start right in your own community, because that's where it starts at. And Rainer, you were talking about a resolution that's going to be presented about the mandates.
Right. No jab mandates sort of resolution, that Sarah Beneschak, who is the newly elected chairman of the Craven County Republican Party, is going to present to the Board of Commissioners at their December 6th meeting. It starts at 7 o'clock.
That's whether where the public can petition.
Yeah. Whether you're Republican or not, if you believe that the jab mandates are inappropriate, we should be there.
Right.
And support that effort.
And Alan Harrop put together that resolution.
Yes,
and he did a very fine job on that. Dr. Alan Harrop.
Harrop. He's also active in the CCTA.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot of territory, and we talked about political activism. We can show you many cases, the results once you get involved, how it can make things change, how you can change the minds of people. And the other important aspect of that is it only takes one. And I'm starting a little thing on that. I'm going to have some shirts printed up and all. The group of one. Group of one. One voice, one vote, one of many, and one nation under God. It only takes one to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. You are an inspiration to somebody else. Some of those people that were out there yesterday were only there because other people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had seen action before. And a good example of that is the first demonstration they had at the school board a few weeks back. There was only a handful of people that showed for that. The counter demonstrators had a larger group to begin with. And of course, the demonstrators that were there against the mandate, finally the group grew large enough that it outnumbered the counter demonstrators. But the point is, this last time, it started out with a big group.
Yes.
Much bigger.
Yes.
Much bigger. And it filled the room when it went inside. So it does have an impact, and it's very important to participate. Emails are good. Phone calls are good. Social media, maybe. But showing up in person, that physical presence and your voice being heard is what really makes the difference.
Or even writing an individual letter to...
A handwritten letter.
Handwritten letter.
Handwritten letter. That's assuming that you can read your handwriting.
Oh, now you're asking too much now.
Yeah, if you're still practicing writing the old-fashioned way, you better print it, because... All right, well, let's move on now and talk about some other things. You were talking also, Rainer, about some legislation in Raleigh.
Yes and no. The North Carolina Senate, there is representation tends to be very, very heavy in favor of large cities. With the new maps, it's going to get worse. For example, right now, Norm Sanderson represents Carteret, Craven, and Pamlico. Well, he's going to keep Pamlico. We lose him. And his district is going to...
We mean Craven County.
Craven County, yes. His district is going to swirl up toward the Virginia line. He will have 8 counties. While Wake, for instance, has more than one senator. So I got to thinking about it. Hal and I have talked about it. You know how in Congress, the House of Representatives is based on population.
The U.S. Congress.
Yes.
Right.
In the Senate, every state, regardless of how many people live there, regardless of the physical size of the state, every state has 2 senators. So that tends to balance out and give minority some weight against the high population centers. High population centers, I think the people get rats in a cage syndrome, and they want to control each other. Those of us who live in rural areas and in small towns tend to want to live and let live. So there is a big dichotomy there. In North Carolina, the General Assembly, the House, the districts are drawn based on number of people, and the Senate districts are drawn based on number of people. That does not give fair representation to rural areas and small towns. So I got to thinking about it. We've got 100 counties. We have 50 senators. What really should happen is we should have 2 contiguous counties per senator. It would give minority representation a better chance than it has now. It's bad, and it's getting worse with the new districts.
Well, you know the problem with that, Rainer?
No.
It's common sense.
Yes, and I tell you what, the
it's
U.S.
It's not political.
The
it's common sense.
The U.S. Constitution grants all the states a Republican style of government, a little r Republican. This would be what we what we're faced with in North Carolina is forcing everything to be on population, and it does not protect minority groups as the design was intended to be.
When you say minority, you mean less populated. You're not talking about a racial minority or anything like that.
No, just people who, we are supposed to have appropriate representation for all kinds of groups. And there, we've come to think of, as soon as you say minority, people think race. Well, no, there are a lot more ways to be in a minority. Wealthy people are in a minority. Rural people are in a minority. There are various ways. And the design is intended to protect each of those groups. And the new districting, we're going to be lumped with Beaufort and Lenore. Craven will have three counties be in an area that has three counties for their senator. Jim Perry, who lives in Lenore, is now the senator from that area. I've heard debates about he is a Republican, and one might think because of their platform that was a conservative person. I've heard debates about just how conservative he is, and I've also been given to understand that someone else is going to throw her hat in the ring on Monday. So I think I'm interested in watching the news on that on Monday.
All right.
Well, speaking of the General Assembly, Keith Kidwell put out a press release recently, and he's going to do some town halls. So apparently business is winding down up there in the General Assembly. And he's going to have a town hall meeting. It'd be on December the 7th, Tuesday, December the 7th, at 8 p.m., from 6:30 to 8 p.m., he's going to be at the Craven County Vanceboro Town Hall in Vanceboro. So it'd be interesting to hear what he has to say there.
And it's very important, folks, that if you can, you participate in these town halls, because these representatives need to hear your input.
Right. He's also going to be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Beaufort County Community College on December the 6th. So it's December the 6th and December the 7th, they're town halls that people can attend. And, I think, it's like you say, Rick, it's really important for people to let these legislators know what we want to see done.
Right.
I have a question. I had always assumed, that was a mistake, that the state legislature was set up the same way as Congress, with the Senate and the House representing different things. Now, we know that federally, the Senate was set up to make sure the little states had equal rights mm-hmm. as the big states. Mm-hmm. And evidently somebody who wrote the North Carolina Constitution did not do that.
That's right. And exactly I would like right. to see a constitutional amendment to change it to two contiguous counties.
Yes.
And I'd like to know when any and everybody who's running for Senate, I'd like to hear them say whether or not they'd favor that in advance of the election.
And the vast majority of North Carolinians wanted to use voter ID.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and what happened to that?
Along with that voter ID, apparently the U.S. Supreme Court has accepted hearing the challenge to the Josh Steins not representing us properly, that they will hear it. Unfortunately, it's going to be, I guess, mid-spring that they will hear the case about why our voter ID constitutional amendment cannot be accepted.
All right. Well, I all the time have people telling me, we hear y'all talking about all these issues and all these problems, but what are the solutions? Okay. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about one solution that, if nothing else, you just need to educate yourself on, and that is the lesser magistrate doctrine, also known as interposition. The lesser magistrate doctrine is actually, it's a sword against unjust edicts and tyranny. And many Americans seem to know that America's founders gave us three boxes through which we can resist tyranny, and namely the ballot boxes, the first one, and then the jury box.
The ammo box.
And then the cartridge box.
But I hope we don't get to that one.
Right. But there's a lesser known tool which the founders themselves employed, and that is the lesser magistrate doctrine. For example, if Congress or the president was to make an unjust or immoral edict, then you would expect the state legislature or the governor to stand in defiance of their unjust edict and refuse to obey or to implement it. They could, in fact, actively oppose it, or for that matter, a city council or mayor could act in defiance or opposition of an unjust edict by a higher authority. And we've talked with our local sheriff about this, mm-hmm. and also sheriffs from adjoining counties are in agreement. If the federal government, for instance, was to say, okay, we're going to confiscate guns in North Carolina. Okay, we've outlawed them. We're going to go around and pick them up. Your local sheriff could say, no, not in our county, you're not.
He already has said no.
Yes, yes. So
thank heavens.
You know what he said? He said, I would deputize everybody with a concealed carry permit in the whole county.
And
he said,
was willing.
Yeah, that was willing. He said, I'd have an army ready to meet him.
Right. And that's a good example of the lesser magistrate doctrine. Mm-hmm. He's a lesser magistrate in terms of, you know, when you look at the hierarchy, county, state, federal, but he's the most powerful law enforcement official in the land because he's the only elected law enforcement official we have. Mm-hmm. All the rest of them are appointed or hired. So he does have the authority, the ultimate authority in the county. It doesn't matter what the county commissioners say. Matter of fact, he could stop this hospital from doing what they're trying to do.
How's that?
By proving that it's unconstitutional and it's against immoral, it's against God-given rights and laws. You know, it's not going to be an easy, simple over the course of a day or two thing to do, but it's going on across the country. People are starting to turn back to it and look into it because what you're saying, anything that God says is wrong, you shouldn't be doing that through your justice system.
That's true.
And, well, you know, the lesser magistrate doctrine, it was real important to Christian men during the Reformation, even though it had been practiced and spoken of by Christians. For example, the Magna Carta was written by a group of barons or lesser magistrates who had the tyrant King John of England sign it in the year of 1215. So it's not new. It predated that, actually. And you can find instances of it in Scripture. And if you do your homework and study up on it, some of the Scripture is very descriptive of what we're talking about in the lesser magistrate doctrine. And if anybody needs to understand what it is, we need to understand it now.
Immoral and common law, too, I believe.
Because immoral and unjust edicts are commonplace now. Look how corrupt the preborn are being murdered. Sodomy is being proliferated. The assault upon our freedom and liberties is a daily undertaking by those in high office. And the attacks upon the law of God are ferocious and relentless. So in our nation today, the state, which means the government, has declared good to be evil and evil to be good. And the lesser magistrate has a duty before God to uphold the good, regardless of the new definitions created by the state.
And, Rick, you know, along with that, anybody who opposes what the government now says apparently is labeled a terrorist.
Yes. And I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from our break to hear from our sponsors. And please stay tuned and join us on the other side.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Folks, we've been talking about a lot of stuff, this last thing, Lesser Magistrate Doctrine. You got to remember, when the state commands that which God forbids or forbids that which God commands, we have a duty to obey God rather than man. And that's clearly taught in the Bible. So, you know, we need to stand up against these immoral and ungodly mandates that are coming down. I want you to remember also that we have fellow American citizens that have been illegally and unconstitutionally imprisoned. They're political prisoners. They've been there for almost a year now. They are being mistreated. There are some
Patriots of January the 6th.
The January 6th participants that were wrongly accused of being terrorists or insurrectionists. They're still being held, some of them without charges, without trial, without, you know, contact with
nor
their families.
Nor constitutional rights under the guise, I suppose, of
the Patriot Act, yeah.
Which is screwball. That is totally unacceptable to me. There should be no exceptions for Americans.
Right. So, folks, you can see we are on the verge of losing all of our rights, and if we don't stop this intrusion of the government into our personal lives and taking our freedoms and God-given rights away from us, they're not going to stop on their own. They're just going to go for more and more and more. So we need to keep that in mind and keep in your prayers those that are still in prison. Those are political prisoners in Washington, D.C., and some of the raids that are going on around the country, busting in people's houses, terrorizing their families and their children, confiscating their personal property just because they happen to be there in Washington, D.C. No evidence of them doing anything wrong, They happen to be in the general vicinity. All right, well, I got a couple other things I want to talk to you about. We already mentioned the Christmas party on December 21st, I believe it is, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. You can go to our website, cctaxpayers.com, and we'll be keeping you updated on the details of that. But I also want to tell you about a gun raffle that we've got going on. You know, folks, when you're trying to get the word out, like we are with this radio show, radio airtime is expensive. The website that we're directing you to, creating and maintaining that, is expensive. Paying for a venue to have public meetings in is expensive, especially when you're using a historic ballroom that can seat 200 people or more. It's a very nice venue, but we have to pay for the use of it. It's not a donation. The materials that we provide, the free constitutions we pass out, the study materials like the 5,000-year leap and things like that, and people like Hal and Rainer and Bob and Mary and myself take on a lot of personal expense using our own printers and ink and things like that. Quite a bit, gasoline. There's quite a bit of expense goes into what we're doing here as an organization at Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. So we frequently try to come up with fundraisers to raise funds, and one of our favorite things to do is have a gun raffle. And we have just started one, and it's for Kel-Tec Sub 2000. Now, this is a folding pistol caliber carbine. In other words, it folds in half. You can put it in a backpack or, you know, some other small piece of luggage. It's a 9mm semi-automatic folding carbine, and it uses Glock magazines. So if you already have a Glock 9mm, the mags are interchangeable. You can lay the pistol down, pick up the carbine, use the same magazine. And all of this is to support our stand for liberty and the support of the Second Amendment. Tickets are $10 each, and you do not have to be present to win. But you must be legally eligible to own a firearm and possess a valid North Carolina handgun permit before you can take possession. And this fundraiser is sponsored by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to support all of our efforts. The drawing will be held when all 500 of the tickets are sold, so I can't give you a date on that now, but the drawing date will be posted on our website, cctaxpayers.com, and we have a phone number also on that site that you can call. And please, that transfers to another number. So if you don't get an answer, please leave a message so we can get back to you. A lot of people just hang up before it transfers. Please leave a message. That number is 252-649-0525. And you'll be able to find that on our website at cctaxpayers.com. Thank you for joining us. Please come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.